Everyone, Pastor Mark here with Harmony Toluca Lake, and welcome to a short story segment on the Our Story, the podcast. And I have the great pleasure of Rev Jefferson Beeker joining us today. Hello.
Hi, good to see you.
Good to see you too. And our focus on this day is patriotism and faith.
Woo! It's a heavy subject. Absolutely.
Oh. So, all right. Well, let's just dive in.
Sure.
Ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Patriotism.
Yeah.
What does that mean for you?
I think it's showing love for our country, appreciation for what we have, the opportunities that we have in this country, looking at the legacy that has been left to us, certainly by our founding fathers and the people that have come before us. And but for me, it's also important to be able to be objective about our country. We love it, but like a parent loving a child, you can also want to correct flaws, because we are not without our problems in this country. I had somebody say to me one time, America is the greatest country in the whole world and the best. And I went, well, yes, but it has the potential to always be greater. And for me, I love that about our country, that we have people who will put themselves forward. The Martin Luther Kings, the Rosa Parks, the Harvey Milks, who are going to put themselves forward to say, we can do better.
And we can always do better.
We can always do better.
So that is a definition of patriotism, devotion, loyalty, allegiance.
Right.
But then let's layer in nationalism.
Ooh, yeah.
So a difference?
For me, it is, because I think when we talk about nationalism, and lately we've been talking a lot about Christian nationalism, is that it becomes a blind eye toward what this country can truly be, and people putting agendas on what this country needs to be that are not inclusive of everyone. It becomes an orthodoxy that certainly in the fourth century was layered on as Christianity became a national religion. And you either believed this way or you were in deep trouble. And that's a problem.
Well, it's almost, well, like we are in present day.
No, absolutely.
Church becomes almost of, well, you need to affiliate with the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Or, no, you need to affiliate with the Democrat Party.
Right.
But I'll go back to a book that you recommended to me, and thank you for that.
Which
in fact, the title
I happen to have right here.
Right, after Jesus, Before Christianity is the name of the book.
Yeah.
And I love the aspect of how they started out the Jesus movement,
yeah.
If you will, began in various groups.
Yeah.
But there was this one line that it talked about how the groups themselves were one who belongs to the party of the anointed.
Yes.
Yeah. And not to the party of Democrats, not to the party of Republicans, but
right.
to the party of the anointed
right.
one. And I love that. But then also they tied in Rome. So I find that that's an interesting connection for our discussion.
It is, and if you look at the Jesus movement after Jesus' death, a lot of emphasis was placed on healing people from the trauma of Rome, because after all, it was Rome who crucified our Lord brutally. People have said to me, are you sure it was the Romans? It wasn't the Jewish people who killed Jesus? I thought, the Jewish people, if they wanted to kill Jesus, would have stoned him. That was the way they dealt. Crucifixion on a cross was a completely Roman punishment. and was deliberate with the idea of the cross. And so there was a lot of trauma in these early Jesus groups that they had to heal from. And I think if they held allegiance to any nationality, it was to Israel.
Yes.
They saw themselves, most of, yes, were Jews who followed Jesus, but there were also Gentiles who began to follow Jesus. But they affiliated, as you said, with the party of the Anointed One. They were really following what Jesus had taught.
Well, and that didn't sit well with Rome.
Not at all.
Because that, again, went against everything that they were trying to achieve.
Yes, yeah.
And so we had all those years, but then there's irony behind this, isn't there?
So much irony. We were talking earlier that if you wrote this in a novel, the editor would probably come back and say, that's a little on the nose, isn't it? But it's history, and that's the interesting thing about history, if you really study history, is things come in cycles, and sometimes something will seem, that's too on the nose to have happened, but we know that it did because we have documentation. So these early Jesus groups were being persecuted by the Romans. And then when we talk about the after Jesus, before Christianity, now that we're in Christianity, with Constantine in the 4th century, now Rome is persecuting people who are not believing the way Rome wants them to believe. And the sad thing is we don't learn from history, do we?
Mm.
We see all of this and we don't really learn from it. What's going on with a lot of our country today is people are trying to prescribe to you and to me and to so many people how belief has to be, how you have to really worship Jesus, but not, to me, really follow Jesus. I think
big difference.
And I think following the party of the Anointed One, they were really intent on action of doing that which Jesus did. They were feeding people. They were bringing people into chosen family groups. They were bending gender in that if there were not prescribed roles. A man has to do this and a woman has to do this.
Although we are told by the church in many instances otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, though, of course, when we get into the 4th century, then we begin to have theology get developed, don't we? And we have people writing the way they felt that things needed to be interpreted. Mm-hmm. For me, I always come back to the way Jesus responded. That's sort of my litmus test for what I want to do. And the thing that's sad for me is I have found myself, if people ask me if I'm a Christian, hesitating to say yes, because I don't know what they mean by that.
Ah.
And I will tell them, I'm a follower of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, because, and oftentimes, Christianity gets a bad rap.
Yeah.
Being called a Christian.
Yeah.
You can see it. It's sort of like whenever we say, oh, I'm pastor. And, you know, there's immediately, you can see the look in different looks in different people's eyes.
It's interesting. I don't know if you've experienced this, but if you're going to date somebody or you meet somebody you're going to date and you tell them you're a minister, I get one of several responses. One might be, I'm going to corrupt this person. And the other one is, let me find out more. Let me find out what they mean by that. Maybe this is something that that they're demonstrating for me, that you can be authentic to who you are and also be a person of faith.
So talking about patriotism, can I be a patriot of America. Mm-hmm. And how does that fit into my faith? How do I live that out?
It can be tricky, I think. I consider myself a very patriotic person. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and there's always a celebration going on for something somewhere that is patriotic. And I see clergy people being invited to participate in those things. And for me, I blend my faith and my patriotism very easily, but I know that for a lot of people it can be difficult because people see government, well, we've got patriotism and we've got government, don't we? Mm-hmm. So what is the government doing and what is being proud of being a part of this country? Grew up at the knee of my stepfather, who told me stories about fighting in World War II. And I was proud of the service that he and his fellow soldiers did. And my favorite musical, one of my favorite Broadway musicals was 1776. Mm-hmm. It is on the writing of the Declaration of Independence. And it's so interesting that they had the draft of the declaration to be voted on, and it was almost finished. And the clergyman at the convention said, "We're missing something. How can we hope to go forward to form this country without the intervention of," and the word that they used was divine providence. And they added that in. So even at the beginning of our country, the founders realized that without God's help, we're not going to succeed.
Yes. And well, again, continuing to go along this line of thinking about patriotism and faith, some churches will have an American flag mm-hmm. in the sanctuary, other churches don't. What do you see around that subject?
I can have faith, I can be a patriot, but I also believe very strongly in the separation of church and state. So for me, I don't really want the flag mm-hmm. in there. But I don't want the Christian flag in there either.
Right. Well, and here at Harmony, we don't have any flags.
Yeah.
Well, I see the American flag inside a sanctuary, and it sends a signal to me that the flag is greater than
yes.
God.
Yes.
Being
yes.
And it's like, wait a minute, no, that's right. That's not the case.
Right.
I love America, but I also have the right in America to disagree. And I find that is a part of our patriotic duty, mm-hmm. not to just fall in line, but that we can disagree with how things are being run. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier that the listening audience is not privy to, but we were talking about the Vietnam War
right.
and peace signs. Well, mm-hmm. that it's not to say that they weren't being patriotic, but they were also being called commies.
Right, right. Well, because the opposition is always going to try to put down people who I think are trying to hold government to account. And I remember very vividly as a young person, the marches in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I was too young. My mother wouldn't let me go. I remember as a very young child, the 1963 March on Washington for Civil Rights. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go down there in the worst kind of way. And my mother wouldn't permit it, but she was afraid some incident might happen, and so we have to hold our country to account. And I think
well, we also should be holding our church to account.
Exactly, we hold our church to account
because right now we're living in a situation of nationalism overcoming the church. It becomes a nationalistic church.
Right, right.
And that's very dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Because what will happen is, I want to say to people when they talk about Christian nationalism, remember the Crusades? I know none of us were there, but we've all read about it. Do we want that again?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought, we're here at Harmony, and we have this lovely faith community, and everyone is welcome to come and be their authentic self here. We want you to come, and we want to celebrate who you are. And do we want our congregation here to be threatened and not be able to worship because we're not doing it right according to certain parties?
Yes.
I know that in the Congress, they begin each day with a prayer. And I think that's beautiful because then again, going back to the Declaration of Independence, we're not going to be able to succeed without divine providence, without the presence of God. And I think that what we have is a gift. And with any gift, you need to cherish it and take care of it, to preserve it.
Yes. Well, as we now wrap up this conversation of short stories, do you have any closing comments to share with us?
Oh, wow. I love celebrating the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fireworks, and I love all of that. And for me, I feel God's presence in all of that. And I hope and I pray that we can continue to move forward in our country, that people of all faiths can worship freely. And I know that there are many paths to God. Some people find it through Buddhism, Hinduism, they find it through a lot of different things. We find our faith through the teachings of Jesus, and we should all be able to live in a country where your faith is not a detriment to what you're able to accomplish.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us for this conversation. Always a joy.
Well, thank you. You gave me a lot to think about.
And we'll have another conversation, you know, in a couple of months. We'll join and have a, yeah, it'll be good. But in the meantime, thank you, everyone, for listening to the Short Stories episode. It is always a pleasure to have Rev. Jefferson Beaker joining in on this. And I'm looking forward to sharing with you in the next episode a connection that I made in London, England. A young man who's a pastoral assistant at St. Martin in the Fields is going to be joining us, so look forward to that conversation. But in the meantime, enjoy this day, and peace.
Peace.